Welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Christ. We are trudging along right trudging. Now. It's been a wild couple of days, especially if you're a part of the Southeast. Big hurricane came through, and us being up in Tennessee, it really wasn't a hurricane. It kind of was just a storm, but we're definitely seeing some aftermath of some really, really tragic things that are happening kind of south of here. And especially Dylan. I mean, heck, Dylan, I'll let Dylan say. Dylan, what have you been doing the past couple of days?
I've been sleeping. No, we've been doing some disaster relief efforts with the church, and it's been good. But there's a lot of people that we need to pray for and a lot of lives that will never be the same. So,
yeah.
But it's certainly been a busy few days.
And you're going back. When do y'all leave? Do y'all go back tomorrow?
No, we're leaving Friday night.
Friday night. Okay.
I think 11, 10 or 11 Friday night. So, yeah. Bound for Cedar Key, Florida.
Man. Mm-hmm. It's definitely bad. We, I'm sure you've seen it. But for sure, keep those families in your prayers. Just as they're going forward. When we tasted a little bit of that here, 4 years ago. It's 4 years, right? Is it five now?
It'll be five this next March.
Next March.
So four years. Four and a half. Okay.
So we tasted a little of that when the tornado came through here. But man, it's bad down there. It seems like a broader range and more people are affected. So for sure, keep those people in your prayers. Pretty much anywhere south of Tennessee, but still parts of Tennessee too. Especially the east side, over towards kind of the Carolinas and the coast. So
I think they got it worse than the Panhandle.
yeah, that's for sure. All those roads closing and just like towns being completely flooded because like the dams like weren't like pumping water out fast enough, and that's just crazy. That's like a this is terrible. It reminds me so much of Evan Almighty.
Yeah.
Like, because that's like the whole thing is the, I can't remember what dam it is, but it literally, because it just breaks. And like, there's so much water all at once. And I'm like, for some reason, and it's terrible. That's the first thing my mind went to was like, Evan Almighty. Great movie, by the way. Well done to, what's his name? I want to say Michael Scott.
Steve Carell.
There it is.
Who would have thought I would have known an actor
there
over you?
There it is.
I don't know anything, so I feel like I live under a rock.
Well, I just knew Michael. Michael Scott. I couldn't even think of. I couldn't think of him, but yeah. So this week we're getting into some positive words. It's been a little negative around here. A little down the dumps, a little trudging, but
about some bad words.
But now and then as I look at my schedule, it kind of like it just gets better from here on out. So you're just in for it, all right? Hope you're ready.
Looking up.
Yeah, I know. And so the word we're going to study this week is the word grace. Now, this is such a hard biblical word to grasp, I would say, and through my studies, like more flaws in my previous thinking, it's like changed me or caused me to like wonder more, and it just made my mind run about some situations. So it's a really great study, but we are going to take 2 weeks to do this, kind of hit it from two different points of view. One of grace, God's grace, in response to us, people, his people, humans, and then our grace, humans to other people, people to people interactions. And so I think this week we're going to do human and God interactions when it comes to grace. And so, and we might even take more weeks on this. This is
We're gonna start out with two.
Yeah, we're gonna start See out with two, but we're not gonna say anything's final, because this is also one of those words where it's like, you might have an always, ever-changing opinion on it. And not like it's like a bad thing, but just kind of like the Ecclesiastes writer says, live life with an open hand, you know, not grasping anything too certain. Because if you do that, then you can put like limitations on God's grace and stuff like that. But living life in this word, you know, God's grace with an open hand, kind of ever having it affect you and maybe changing your opinions on it and stuff like that. So hopefully that's something that you get from these next 2 weeks. I know for a fact that, you know, I'm not the greatest one up here to be telling you about God's grace, but hopefully it inspires you to kind of keep going and come up with your own conclusions and opinions about it. But, you know, just to remind us of like the meaning or like the whole purpose behind this, it's to look at these Hebrew and Greek words that sometimes have a different meaning than what we see in English, and it kind of loses some weightiness and stuff like that. So we're going to try to, again, get down into the nitty gritty, into more of the Hebrew and the Greek, and see what it means there and in light of some verses as well. So you ready? We'll get started.
Ready. All right.
So real quick, you know, there's for the word grace, it's the Hebrew word chen, K-H-E-N, as a like a verb, but chanun as a adjective, and that's K-H-A-N-U-N. You kind of have to like clear your throat, like at the top, like at the end or something.
You did a very good job.
Chen and chanun, you know, obviously it's not like wrong in like Hebrew, but that's such like a gross thing. Like
it is.
But like obviously
what happens if a little phlegm comes out? I know. You're like, oh, sorry about
you
that.
You just got like wipe it
I
up
was just
quick.
Trying to tell you that God's grace was sufficient for you.
But like, I wonder, do you think like people who speak Hebrew like just have like clear throats all the time?
I don't think so. You should.
They should. And because every word
that's how you
that.
Say hello.
Because every word's like that. It has
imagine that.
Sort of...
imagine that was the real way to say hello. Just walk in. That's just gross.
This is fun. Well, then we'll get back to it. I was watching Phineas and Ferb last night. I was watching the episode of Ferb Latin. Just made me and take the first letter of every word, put it at the end, and then say herb.
I love that.
But anywho, so the word chen has 170 different examples in the Bible. And fun fact, one third of them deals with human-to-human interaction, and so the other two-thirds deal with human and God interactions. And so kind of first, what is this word? There's a bunch of different meanings and, you know, iterations, and you know, grace is very packed in there, you know. The word chen usually includes anything that brings out, like, a favorable response, you know. The best thing I can think of is like, I'm a deer hunter. I love to be in the woods. You know, there's something about the woods that just has, you know, and Dylan's talked about it before, like the early morning, you know, just like the world's waking up kind of deal. And you're just chilling in a tree stand. It's like a sense of grace. And even like Solomon in the Proverbs, he writes this in chapter 5, verse 19, you know, it talks about how this deer moves, or not deer, but this doe moves swiftly and elegantly, and it's called a deer of chen, so like a graceful deer, you know. There's a sense of beauty in watching, because the thing, I don't, to be honest, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, I don't have to kill a deer every time I go out in the woods. I just I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I like to go out and watch, just like, you know, it's always a treat when you like see like a little raccoon run by or something like that, and you're just like, aw.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. It's just a sense of beauty in all of it. Another really good example I could think of is like, I like to play golf. I'm not in no way identify as a golfer, but I do enjoy going, either, you know, playing it or just watching it. And so like me and Dylan, we've gone to the Masters before, and I think we've talked about it. And there's something about just going to this, you know, Augusta National, this beautiful place, and like pro athletes at the top of their game, and they're just like, they're swinging, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. The sound, it just hitting the perfectly like cut fairways, just a little, and you're just like, ah, you know, it's enjoyable to watch. There's something graceful about it. Like, it brings out a response in me, and I would say everyone else around me who watches Tiger Woods hit a perfect bomb down the fairway. It's just, there's something about it, you know, and that's what the Hebrew word hen is getting at. You know, it's got these multiple meanings where it kind of captures this essence of beauty and elegance and things like kind of like worth treasuring or and stuff like that. And so in biblical passages, you know, when someone is treated like treasure or treated, in another word that's used a lot, favorably, you know, we get to see almost a different meaning or another meaning of the word grace in the Bible. So the phrase actually to be found as chen or found as favorably in the eyes of someone is very common in the Bible. And chen is the same word that's used for grace. So like to be found favorably appears about 47 times throughout Scripture, usually in a sense of someone who is authoritative, has some sort of power, and it looks down at someone, kind of like of lower status, and shows them favor. And just one example of this, and there's many, it's in the book of Ruth, you know, chapter 2, verse 10. Boaz, the landowner, cares for Ruth by letting her harvest crops from his field for free. And this sense of grace is when, you know, someone who has authority finds someone of a lower social status as worthy, you know. Another big one is in the book of Esther. And this one kind of has like the opposite. You know, in Esther, she approaches this king because she's trying to spare her people, because the king, I don't even know how to say his name properly, but Anuris, this king has like deemed her group of people, they're going to be slaughtered. Like, this is it. But she comes to him and asks for, and this is chapter 4, verse 8, but she asks for grace. And the king, who owes nothing to her, grants her request. You know, and that's, you know, that's the important thing there, kind of the thing to stand out. He doesn't owe her anything, but yet he shows grace by doing so. And so this word, chen, like I said, it's kind of the verb, and the adjective is chanun, which means that this person who's described as chanun is full of grace, who constantly shows favor to people that are lower status than them. And this is a major attribute of God. God consistently looks at us with chen. But so quick, Bible trivia, Dylan. Who is the first person in the Bible who found favor in the eyes of God? You got this. First person.
Adam? No. I don't know. You said the first person. I answered that right.
It was Noah.
Can I get a redo?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just kidding. Noah! Woo!
You know what's even more interesting?
I didn't think about that question good enough.
You know what's more interesting? Noah's found favorably. Abraham's found favorably. But Moses is not.
Really?
Yep. It does not say. Or at least I could not find, but it does not say that Moses was found favorably, which is kind of like, I don't know. Well, odd to me, maybe, because Moses is such like a...
You would think you would.
Yeah, he's such like a key person. But anywho, so it's Genesis 6:8. You know, God is... This is the introduction to the flood narrative. You know, it's the beginning of the chapter is kind of this theme of God seeing, you know. In verse 5, God sees all the badness, the raw in people, and then finds this one person. And this person generates chen in the eyes of God. He's found favorably in verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And this set up, you know, us by seeing that by God providing the ark as a means of escape from the dark chaos waters that destroy everything, it's an act of chen. It's an act of God being gracious. But something that's like always interesting, because verse 9 is what gets me. This is right after Noah's found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, and Noah walked with God." So, my understanding of grace, like, as I feel like forever, has been grace is always unmerited, right? You know, there's, you don't have to earn it, you know? That's what I've always thought forever. But this verse is different. It's saying that Noah was blameless and righteous and walked with God. So my question to you, Dylan, is did Noah deserve grace? Is it deserved? And to me, every time I've read or I've known or thought I've known grace, it's been the opposite. Grace is only received because it's unmerited. But here, it seems as though it's merited. And I might be reading way too into this, but I think like...
No, I mean, you're right, because my first answer is no.
Right.
Because nobody deserves it, but right. Then I'm like,
oh. Right? It just, I don't know. Just, you can ponder that. I don't, I'm not giving you an answer here. I'm just giving you like something to chew on for the rest of the week, you know? Did Noah deserve it? He says he's righteous. He's blameless. He's right with God. Now, there's another example, and I think it kind of helps us out. The Jacob and Esau story. So we know this story, you know, after Jacob steals the birthright from Esau, they spent some time away. I can't remember exactly how far, but Jacob and Esau are reunited. And this begins in chapter 32 of Genesis. And Jacob sees Esau, and he sends a messenger out to him. And it says in verse 32, verse 5, it says, I have oxen, donkeys, this is Jacob talking, flocks, male servants, female servants, I've sent to tell my lord in order that I may find favor, I may find chen in your sight. So he's trying to find favor in the eyes of his brother. He's trying to have grace. And then he goes on, kind of goes through the night, and chapter 33, verse 11 comes up, where Jacob is like pushing all of this stuff on Esau. He's like, take this. But he says it's because he's been blessed with all the stuff because God has dealt. And in this one, in at least in the ESV, it says, please accept my blessing. This is brought to you because God has dealt graciously with me. And because I have enough, thus he urged him, and he took it. So what we have is, you know, we have this story where Jacob is looking to find grace, looking to find chen in the eyes of Esau. And he says God has shown him chen in giving him all these animals. So here's what's interesting. Does Jacob deserve grace? Does he deserve chen? No. Jacob does not deserve chen. But yet, he asks for it. And he says, even to the point that God has shown it to him. And it's true. I mean, we have the end of Genesis. We know how gracious, you know, God is, and how he continues to show chen to Jacob and bringing in this messianic line and the promise through him. You know, God goes above and beyond to stick with this Jacob. And so now it's great, cuz this is all within, like, this is in the same book of the Bible, not even like different books. So now you have Noah, who seems to deserve it, and Jacob doesn't. They're contrast characters, but yet they both find favor in the eyes of God. Noah deserves it, or seems to deserve it. Jacob doesn't. But both receive it. Isn't that interesting? What a great book. This is such a unique biblical view that like is so against anything that you like learn in school. Just, that's just to be funny. You don't learn about this stuff, but like, so unique, you know, we live in like an honor shame society where, you know, grace is only merited, or we only show grace to people who merit it. Actually, it's completely opposite of like the biblical view. You know, I'm not gonna, it's like Christmas, really, in a sense. Like, we all love to give gifts, but you're telling me that if you love to give gifts, you give gifts to everyone. You won't just give gifts to people that might give gifts to you back. You know, there's a sense on like the receiver's end, because he's like, oh, I got a gift, I need to in turn give it back. You know, so it's like there's no unmerited gift because we feel like we need to repay it. And so this chanun, the adjective, comes up, you know, in Exodus chapter 34. This is when God is describing himself to Moses up on Mount Sinai. You know, God has set the Israelites free from Egyptian slavery, and they make a covenant with God. And then Moses goes up on Mount Sinai for 40 days, and he comes down, and what does he see? He sees the Israelites just blatantly breaking the covenant by worshiping this golden calf. And now something that I would say is huge and surprises, I would say, everyone, is the way God reacts. Instead of, like, smiting them, throwing lightning bolts down on them, and just, like, burning the whole lot of them, he responds with hen. Excuse me, hen. I got a little English there. It wasn't Hebrew. He responds with that. Instead of throwing lightning bolts, he responds with grace. In chapter 34, verse 6, it is such a prominent verse in all of the Bible. I mean, this verse is, I'll have to look it up and tell you for next time, is repeated tons of times. But this is where God describes himself. He says, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. In verse 7, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression, we just talked about those three. Who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of their fathers. So in this moment, God is telling his people that he favors them. Even if they're rebelling against him, he favors them. This is such comforting news for people like us. Knowing that God isn't up there just waiting for us to fail so he can cross our name out of the book of life and be like, next, he's found favor on us. And his grace here is an action. It's not just like a word. You know, it's an action. It's the very essence. It's a verb and a adjective. It's the very essence of his character. Even when we go into rebellion and turn our backs on him, he consistently finds ways to reconcile with us. He loves us. You know, the Bible is such an awesome book. I love it. And the word study of Chen just kind of continues to show how, like, awesome it is, you know, over and over again. Because this is such a unique contribution that the Jewish and Christian story has made to the world. You know, it's to elevate acts of favor and Chen and grace to people who maybe don't deserve it, like Noah, but people who definitely don't deserve it, like Jacob. I mean, Jacob is crazy. His name is changed to Israel right after that chapter that we just read in Genesis 33. His name is changed. He wrestles with God, and it changes his name. And this man is a foundational figure in this people group. And so you're telling me about, this is the guy who is the founder of Israel, the people group, and he's a rascal. He blatantly disobeys God and deserves nothing but exile and banishment. But God completely flips the script and shows Chen to people just like that. That was a scandalous thing to say in the ancient world. And I think, really, if we're honest with each other, it's still a scandalous thing to say even today, of God showing immense amount of Chen to people who are just like Jacob and completely deserve nothing but exile and banishment, but instead receive chen. And so that's where my studies have led me this week. But Dylan, what about you?
We got about 5 minutes left here, and I want to kind of explain to you a little bit where my head's at. Of course, me and Jackson, we study the Bible two very different ways. And because I'm much more simple-minded, I think.
I wouldn't say that.
I have to make you know, me understand things myself. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it's a portion to where we bring back Jesus' words. And I'll just read it quickly, but it specifically what Jesus spoke, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And again, like Jackson said, today we're talking about grace that God has for us. Next week we might dive into the grace that God has for, or that we should have with other people. But one thing that we have to understand is this verse kind of reaffirms that God's going to take care of the gaps that we can't. You know, God's grace covers the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it fills in the gap where we fall short and make mistakes. You know, but one thing we have to understand is, you know, talking about grace, and I think this is really important, is you need to understand that you can't get through life without the grace that Jackson just described. I would like to think that most of us think that we're all pretty high and mighty, that we can conquer the world, that we can do everything, that we don't need any help. And guys, I'm just going to be here.
Bless you.
Sorry. I'll be the perfect person to tell you this, that you're not perfect. You can't do everything, and you're not a superhero. And I'm sorry if I break your heart, but you're not. You are going to react to situations wrongly. You are going to think things about people that you shouldn't. You're going to treat people ways that you shouldn't. And you're going to act, talk, walk, and speak all in ways that God does not want you to do. And spoiler alert, you do it every day. And if you don't think that you do, then come right along with me and you'll be able to see it. But God knows that we're going to be like that. And I'm not saying you're a terrible person. I'm not saying that, you know, you should listen to this podcast and grab a box of tissues and cry. It's human nature. That's what humans do.
You think we make people cry?
Oh, absolutely. I hope so. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't cry.
Don't cry.
You're okay. But it's human nature. We destroy things that are beautiful. We destroy relationships that are beautiful, all because we're stupid. I'm just going to call it like it is. As you can see, me and Jackson have different ways of studying. He's over there talking about, and I just said that we're stupid. But it's true. So what 2 Corinthians 12:9 tells me is that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. God is saying through the words of his son that when you mess up, when you make mistakes, if you'll act right, if you'll react right to that situation, you can allow me to shine through and make other people realize the grace that you just received. And again, this plays into what we'll talk about next week too. But like Jackson said earlier, this is great news, because in Romans 3, it tells us that we're all justified freely by his grace, and we have redemption through Christ Jesus. We're justified by his grace, not what you do. If we were justified by the things that we said and the things that we did, then we would deserve nothing. We do deserve nothing, but we certainly wouldn't get anything. We wouldn't get anywhere if we only relied on what we said and what we did. What Romans is telling us is we are justified freely by him, by his grace, the grace that he gives us. So don't think that you're this higher power, that you can do anything, that you're always right, and that you're always going to make the right decisions. You're not. It's how you react. It's how you understand that God's going to give me grace. He's going to fill in the gaps where I fall. And as long as I'm trying, the grace is there. As long as you're giving your best effort and doing your best, then it's there. And you're justified by his grace. So it's great news. It's amazing news. Mm-hmm. Because, guys, we're messed up people that say messed up things and treat people in messed up ways. But God still looks at us and says he loves us. God looks at us and gives us, like Jackson was talking about.
Bless.
And we won't get into his dark question thinking there about the unmerited and merited grace. I got to think about that. But, guys, all the grace that we receive is unmerited.
Yeah.
We don't deserve it. But God still looks at us and says, it's okay, I still love you. We can't understand it. We can't begin to understand how deep the Father's love is for us. But guys, it all stems back to grace. And if God's going to give us that much grace, then how do you think we should treat other people? And that will segue us into next week.
Mm-hmm.
So hope you have a great week. Don't do anything crazy. God loves you, and so do we.
Yep.
See you later, alligator.